The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Larissa Nolan and John Cadell are with us to talk music. And John Cadell was waxing lyrical via Twitter about the Grammy Awards. I suspect it may have had something to do with speeches like this one from Drake.
It's like the first time in Grammy's history where I actually am who I thought I was for a second. So I like that. That's really nice. I definitely did not think I was winning anything. My brother's here. I want to take this opportunity while I'm up here to just talk to all the kids that are watching this, that are aspiring to do music, all my peers that make music from their heart, that do things pure and tell the truth. I want to let you know we play in an opinion-based sport, not a factual-based sport. So this is not the NBA where at the end of the year you're holding a trophy because you made the right decisions or won the games. This is a business where sometimes, you know, it's up to a bunch of people that might not understand, you know, what a mixed race kid from Canada has to say or a fly Spanish girl from New York or anybody else or a brother from Houston right there, my brother Travis. But look, the point is you've already won. If you have people who are singing your songs word for word, if you're a hero in your hometown, Look, if there's people who have regular jobs who are coming out in the rain, in the snow, spending their hard-earned money to buy tickets to come to your shows, you don't need this right here. I promise you. You already won.
And what's your problem with that, John?
Didn't stop him turning up to pick up the bugger, did it? I mean, for all his hoo-ha there, and that was one of the better speeches, actually. At least he was talking.
I thought the sentiments there were quite positive.
But, like, don't be slagging off the Grammys while you're there picking up your award. If you don't need
maybe
awards...
Maybe it was just a humble brag.
What? Well, maybe it was. But, like, don't
No, I think he's right, actually. I disagree. I think the time to criticise those kind of establishment-heavy award ceremonies is actually when you do win.
No,
because if you do it
like
when you don't
you're
win...
You're having your cake and eating
no,
it.
But you know what I mean? You sound like you're bitter then if you don't win. He's won the thing. He said, look, I've won it, but I am gracious enough to accept that a lot of the time these are just people sitting on a board who've decided which is the most suitable one to win this year. And it's not necessarily based on merit. I think he's right.
Well,
I like him for doing that.
If he doesn't like the way they're voted for, then don't turn up to pick it up and stay...
What did he win for, by the way? I know there's... So many awards.
He won loads.
I think he won something like, what did he win? 7 awards or something like that? By the way, can I just ask, I looked through all the, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. I mean, it goes down to stuff like regional Mexican music, Americana, yeah. Latin, gospel, comedy records.
You know, like I think music labels are a thing of the past now. And you've got the likes of like Spotify playlists, you've got radio stations playing all sorts of different types of music. Do we really need music labelled by genre anymore? I don't think we do.
Yeah, but Donald Glover didn't turn up. So what's that about? So Drake turned up, gave out about it.
Yeah.
Donald Glover from Childish Gambino. It is from Childish Gambino.
He is Childish Gambino.
Okay. Didn't turn up. So why did he not turn up? And tell me, who else? There was a few non-shows, wasn't there?
Ariana didn't turn up because one of the heads of the Academy said that she wouldn't have been able to put together a performance in time, which she said was rubbish.
She said it was rubbish. And then he said it was rubbish that she said it was rubbish. So there was a bit of a kind of a he said, she said.
What about that dress Cardi B was wearing?
I didn't see the dress. No. I didn't see the dress.
Go have a look.
I was only listening to and hearing about the awards. What was it like? Any descriptions?
It was just
she could have gone airborne in it.
Yeah. But it was just so self-important. And I know the Grammys always is, but like everyone thanking God, like because you wrote a pop song.
But I love that though.
That's
I love
all you did. Let's not be coy. That's all you did was you wrote a pop song. Half of them written by about 9 people. Like, did you see like best?
Oh yeah, this is
best
it.
Pop single written by 9 people.
Oh yeah, no, it's like.
But at least there wasn't a computer
that.
Involved, artificial intelligence.
Well, you don't know that now, Matt.
There
you
is. There was
that.
Silk City featuring Dua Lipa featuring Mark Ronson.
No, that's
featuring...
only the performers. Then there was 9 or 10 songwriters. I was counting them.
I think they should be banned though. When you do this, like such and featuring such and such with such and such, you know, I think that should be not. That should not be a winner.
Yeah.
And why is Jennifer Lopez in doing?
Oh, this is utter nonsense.
So Jennifer Lopez did a tribute to Motown. Isn't it? Motown is 60 this year.
Yeah.
So she got up and she sang all these amazing songs like "Please, Mr. Postman," "Money." That's what
well,
I want.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it.
Yeah.
There she is singing a song that many of us love. What's the problem?
She's in great voice. So what was the problem was that people were complaining that she's not actually African American, that she's Latino.
What? Yeah, so Hang on. Do you now have to be black to sing? Didn't David Bowie do a version of that?
He did with Mick Jagger.
Yeah. But sure, everybody has been influenced by Motown, from Billy Joel did a whole album.
Sorry, hold on. Yeah. Is it now been Billy said Joel. That you actually, rather than embracing for different cultures, perhaps, you're now not allowed to sing or perform. Will we be stopped dancing to it?
No. What they're saying is that if it was a tribute to Motown at 60 at the Grammys, the performer should have been African-American.
Like, it should have been Stevie Wonder, I suppose.
Because
maybe
it is famously an African-American label.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine. It is an African-American
label.
But does that not mean...
But does it not also show the integration of that music across all
people?
I think when you release a song, it belongs to everybody. Anybody can sing it. And if they want to go down the ethnic minority route, Jennifer Lopez herself is, as far as I know, Latino.
Yeah. Well, she's Smokey Robinson was standing up for her, and I think...
Smokey performed with her.
With her, yeah, exactly.
So but Smokey Robinson doesn't have a problem with it.
But like, this is what he said. He said, who's stupid enough to protest J-Lo doing anything for Motown? Oh, and that really sums it up.
This is just bleeding heart nonsense.
But it's actually even worse than that, John, because what it is, it's an encouragement to actually foment divides and not unity. It's the opposite of unity. So it's like, no, you must be so possessive of everything that belongs to you that nobody else is allowed to take it. So, I mean, this is where they cross the line into it actually being a negative thing. And I love that Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, and music is a borderless art, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it unites us all, isn't that what he said? And she came up and she said, look, I don't care. I was completely inspired by this, and my mother loved this music, and it inspired all my work, and everyone is inspired by Motown.
But the fact that Smokey Robinson, Motown's first superstar, went on stage and sang with Jennifer Lopez and is happy to do it, that negates the entire argument.
Yep.
So the keyboard warriors, or whatever the eternally
we
offended
take too much
we're talking
notice
about.
Of them, don't, I mean, yes. There's probably a small number who go on Twitter or forums,
it's a story.
And they get a disproportionate reaction.
And they're actually very dangerous for relations between the genders and the cultures and all those things. These people are actually causing problems. And I think really...
We're bad. We should have ignored them, shouldn't we?
Well,
we should have. But if someone slags J-Lo, I'm first out to bat.
Okay.
She sounded great though as well, didn't she? I thought
she
sounded fantastic. So I'd love to see that. But I also would have liked, that's the only thing that I would say is, Stevie Wonder is out there. I'd love to see a bit of Stevie doing at a Motown tribute. But then you get
And Diana was in the building as well.
Diana was in the building.
Diana was in the building.
Yeah, wow.
Looking incredible.
Yeah, she is. She is incredible.
Yeah, she's incredible.
But J-Lo did a great job.
Okay. Let's look at the study which suggests millennials still recognise music from its golden age rather than some of the more modern stuff.
Mm. What do we think about that?
Yeah.
Is it saying that the songs that were written years ago are more melodic and had more care put into them than the songs that are written today? By and large, I don't know if you can make that assumption, but I mean, if you're exposed, I mean, these students apparently for this study were played a bunch of songs and they recognised nearly all of the, shall we say, classic older songs. But of course they would, because these songs have been around longer.
Yeah.
They're saying the only ones from recent years that people had any recollection of or rather recognised immediately were Pharrell's Happy and All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor. Two very, very catchy songs. But if a song has been around for a long time, chances are you're going to have heard it more in your life.
And also, your parents may have played it to you as a child.
Yeah.
There's another thing about this, though.
So it's a nonsense study, really.
But you know what I found funny about it, though, was one of the forgotten songs was Truly by
Lionel Richie.
And you're just going, that
mush.
Really is a forgettable, that's a forgettable tune. But the other thing that's worth pointing out here, this annoys me, it's just something that gets my goats. It wasn't millennials, it was Generation Z. They were aged 19, 20 and 21. And this is constantly, millennials actually, people born, I'm a millennial, at the very, very end of millennial.
Right.
And so it's just, anyway, it's Generation Z.
Okay, well actually, let's just play some of the tracks and see how instantly recognisable they are. Baby Got Back.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh, rump a smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing, to hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines, send flat butts all the
touch back. So fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah,
is your girlfriend got your butt?
Hell yeah.
Shake it,
shake it, shake it.
Hugely respected current affairs broadcaster Matt Cooper, everybody.
I actually have to say that was recognised by 90% of the people taking part in the study. I don't ever remember ever hearing that before. Who is it?
My arse.
I know every...
Yes, yes. No, Matt, come on now. You can't fool us.
Matt, I know every single word.
I know.
Song.
You were singing along, doing all the actions.
Yeah.
We should have had a video cam on you.
Yeah.
Ah, the 80s. How great. I think that song, yeah, even kids now today know that song. It seems to have gone down in the classics, yeah, which is hilarious.
I think it was featured in an episode of Friends a few years back where they were singing to the baby to get it to sleep, and that's what sent the baby to sleep. So maybe that has some impact on why that's
little in the middle
so
and
well
she got
known.
Much back. No, it's brilliant. And he was very futuristic. Who was he?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, of course, yeah.
Who is it?
I'm serious. I actually have no recollection of that song.
Yeah, right.
It was about 1988, I think, wasn't it?
I was later than that, about 91, 92.
Are you
thinking?
No, I think, see, we then you moved into
Can't
Touch
This
Territory.
Well, a song like that is just timeless. Larissa, yeah. So it isn't tied to any particular time.
Yes, and the lyrics are fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear this version of Locomotion.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, feel the locomotion. I know you get to like it if you give it a chance now.
I can't listen to the
Grand Funk Railroad.
Okay, I suppose a lot of people would know from the Kylie Minogue version. That was 1974.
Well, the Little Eva version as well, I would imagine.
Okay.
Well, it's a bit like
it's
a star.
Rubbish, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's a great song. The Locomotion's a great song.
What's that bit coming in, though, that's like this kind of, you know,
that's
discordant...
Grand Funk Railroad chug-a-lugging along.
Well, it's dreadful on the ears, but it's one of those things like A Star Is Born. It's like, how many times can you re-release the same song? It's just, you know, it's just been overdone now. You know, it's just too much stuff.
Yeah.
But why would someone think of bringing this out again?
Well, they haven't. This is from 1970-odd.
Oh, why are we listening to it?
Because this is
recognizable.
One of the most recognizable songs.
Not that version, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. I'm slightly
confused. They know the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of announcements of new concerts for the summer over the last couple of days. I've no doubt, given the difficulty in getting tickets for Post Malone to Three Arena this week, as I am discovered to my horror, having a 16-year-old daughter who is dying to go to it, I don't think there's going to be any bother selling out in the RDS in the summer, is there? Even at €75 a ticket.
Yeah, €75 isn't that steep these days.
It is for a teenager, unless they have to get the parents to pay for it.
Well, that's what teenagers do generally, isn't it? If they
it
don't
is.
Have part-time jobs.
Maybe yeah, some of them.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them, we should say. Some of them. Yeah, but I mean, people will find the money. If they want to go and see Post Malone, they will find the £75 to do it.
Well, extraordinarily popular, even if the two of you aren't fans.
I wouldn't be against him now. I wouldn't be a big fan, but I wouldn't have anything against
him. I just think it's tragic, you know, that people are actually told. A lot of the time, they're told what to listen to, and that these people are bigged up and sold. You know, the way, obviously we know how the music
like
industry works. No, but that's actually a good song that's still remembered decades later by people. But when you listen, like I've actually listened to Post Malone to try and go, it's called mumble rap, and it's really like, just if I thought this was brilliant as a teenager now who was into music, I'd actually just make it as part of my education a priority to go back and listen to the East Coast rap of the late 80s and the 90s and golden age.
But then you sound like in my day.
But I don't care what I sound like. What I'm saying is that...
It doesn't matter. Good music from any time, any generation is acceptable, surely, John.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly
what
I'm saying.
I would appreciate someone saying this to me, which people did say to me when I was, you know, 13, 14, 15 and getting into music. If you have a genuine appreciation of music and if you think Post Malone is great, well, then it really is in your interest to go back and listen to the earlier stuff.
And if you were a 13 or 14-year-old and someone said that to you, you go patronising.
No, I wouldn't. No, I didn't, because I always believed, actually, and still do in listening to people ahead of me and gaining wisdom for them. It's a loss when you don't. But what I'm saying is that it's worth your while as a person, if you're interested, to go back and listen to who he has an influence on.
Let's get a flavour of it. And there's a language warning on this. Let's hear a little bit of Post Malone's Rockstar.
I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on no Uzi and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go grata ta ta. Switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying rest in peace to Bon Scott. Close that door, we blowing smoke, she asked me light a fire like a mar.
my song. Ay. Act a fool on stage, probably leave my fucking show in a cop car.
We did give you the warning about language beforehand. Any complaints, please address to John Cadell as Deputy Programming Director here at Today FM.
But I mean, I just don't understand. I can't really see how you would get so excited about a gig like with that. You know, it just, I'm listening to that there. It's not doing anything for me. But in the same way that, say, you know, like NWA or Run DMC would say James Brown was our inspiration. Yeah. I went back and listened to that. I wonder who is behind where Post Malone came from, and I'm really intrigued by the huge interest in him, because I know, and people in my family have gone to that stage of spending loads of money to get tickets for that gig. But yeah, I think you're right, they will sell out in the next summer gig.
I don't remember Musgrave Park in Cork being used for concerts previously, but it is going to be for Liam Gallagher and Lauryn Hill during the summer.
Irish Independent Park, is it not?
That's Musgrave Park to those of us who grew up there, lots of rugby there over the years.
Okay. Sorry, in my day.
It's just like, you know, you wouldn't call Thomond Park something else.
Yes.
Right, okay, so I get you, yeah. So the Aviva and all that, yeah, okay. Yeah, Vanstone Road, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Nolan Park, et cetera.
Yeah. So we keep naming places. Nolan Park is Nolan Park. In fairness to the GAA, they don't rename their grounds.
Yeah. He's Gallagher Jr. is coming back in June to play a gig, and that can only be welcome. He's still, as far as I'm concerned, has one of the greatest voices in rock, bar very few.
And Lauryn Hill, we spoke about recently, because she's doing a three arena gig as well, isn't she?
She has done the three arena.
She did it.
Yeah.
And I missed that, actually. So she does the Miss Education whole album.
She does the entire album.
And more.
And more, yeah. Fuji's hits, of course.
Five Grammy Awards, that one.
Yeah. Yeah,
and she was only 19 or something, I think, when she brought that out.
I think she's 22, 23, but yeah.
And Vampire Weekend are playing Trinity.
That's right. The Trinity series is back this year, and Vampire Weekend, for me, certainly one of the highlights. I mean,
new album out. Great album.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned it there recently. And as well, do you know, isn't Paul Heaton playing that as part of that as well?
Yeah, we love Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott. They're playing the Trinity series.
We'll be going
to
that, John.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, we'll be at that.
I don't know what the clip is, but we do have a bit. Oh, this is a punk by Vampire Weekend. Lovely.
Love that. Yeah. Great band.
Okay. Listen, before we get to other things, we better get your picks of the week in case we run out of time. What's yours, Larissa?
Shocker. Hosier.
We're featured between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock today here on Today FM.
I know. Hosier is my... Oh, great. Hosier is my pick of the week. He doesn't think he's Gandhi anymore. Thank God. He's back to his...
Yeah, weren't you not long ago giving out stink about
him? I was giving out because I didn't like the EP and I didn't like Nina Cried Power. But I've heard a couple of tracks off Wasteland Baby and I am delighted to hear that he seems to be back to his brilliant best. There was two tracks I heard. One is called Almost and the other one is called Movements.
And as it happens, he was on with Duran and Deck, who, of course, sitting in for Dermot and Dave while they're on their Holliers. And this was an exclusive performance of Movement. The full session is on the todayfm.com website.
And it was a world-exclusive performance of Almost. He had never played it live before.
But the one we're going to hear a little bit of as a teaser, as a taster, is Movement.
Great.
But I would know it starts with music playing in the dark. He's still my foolish heart.
A little taste, a flavour of the exclusive tracks that you can find on the todayfm.com website.
That sounds like, it sounds like a bit of Anuna there, and I think he used to be in Anuna.
Was he?
Yeah, and I can hear the sound of it off that, but he's brilliant when he stops sermonising and starts singing. He's a great, great singer.
Well, I have to say, I think Nina Cry Power is a great, great song. Sorry.
Fell asleep.
Yeah. I'm going for David Bowie. He released a box set late last year from 83 to 88. All of his output in one box. It's one of a series of boxes over the last few years called Loving the Alien. But all of the CDs are now available separately, including the live albums that had been previously unreleased. And the one I'm going for is a two CD set of his Serious Moonlight tour from 1983.
Some of your comments that I want to read out. It's not the language on that music you should be apologising for, but the shite music you've just subjected listeners to. Another one says, Vampire Weekend are what MAGA cap, chino wearing frat boys listen to.
No, that's what the music that they that frat boys make. They are undoubtedly preppy boys.
New Order in the Trinity series, Gig of the Summer for us still stuck in 1983, says
sold
Tom.
Sold out completely, unfortunately.
What is it?
Utterly okay. Sold out.
Yeah. You mean just like Post Malone on Thursday?
Yeah.
As I know. Larissa is losing it, as Larissa says. You're promoting Mr. Bland.
Who's that now? A Hosier?
Oh
yeah,
so.
But I just have to explain that because, you see, he kind of betrayed me because I do love his voice, but he has come back. Just give him a chance again. He is great.
Bowie Night was on BBC Four last Saturday night, apparently.
Yeah, I have the documentary recorded.
And that song that I didn't recognise, the one, the
Grand Funk Railroad.
One, it's in Shrek, apparently. And now I recognise Donkey sang it in Shrek.
Oh, Baby Sir Got Mix-a-Lot. Back. Yeah.
Mm. Baby Got Back. That's the one. Yeah.
Every day's a school day, Matt.
It is. I learn a lot. Okay. Very briefly, Ariana Grande, her new album.
Yes. It broke two sets of streaming records. The most streams for an album in one day and also the most streams by a female artist in one day.
Yeah. What exactly does that mean?
It means that more people listen to that album in one day than any other album
in the history of streaming?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So we're only like a record that's only a couple of years in the making. Would that be correct?
Yes, you would be correct in that assumption. Yeah.
Okay, well
done,
her.
Thank you very much, John Cadell and Larissa Nolan. As ever, look forward to seeing you again next Tuesday evening here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.